So, while you guys are giving your offering, we are doing things slightly different today. The pastoral search committee will be the ones who are speaking. What we wanted to do is give you guys kind of a report where we are, where our hearts are, where we think God is leading us, and give you guys an opportunity to respond and put your thoughts down as well. So as most of you are aware, Pastor Rich is in the process of planning to retire. There's a lot of prayer planning that has already been done by the committee. I have a great team of people who I have the honor of leading. And we've been meeting nearly every week where we pray, we work on some various items that we need to put together, and just really seek what God's will is. Today we wanted to involve you guys a little bit more and get you guys a little bit more engaged in what we're doing. But first I wanted to explain to you the whole process so that everyone kind of understands where we're going. There's been some questions that I've answered personally, and I wanted to kind of walk you through process. So like a good engineer, I came up with a flowchart for you. Because that's what I am. So the first thing, since Santa Clara is affiliated with Growing Healthy Churches, Dr. Bill Hoyt has been brought on to counsel us and train us in a process that's worked for a number of churches across the United States to find a new senior pastor. The first thing that was done was that our church board selected a search committee based on the leading of the Holy Spirit in prayer. So that's that first box you see there. Once the team was assembled, we met with Dr. Hoyt. We were trained in the process. And then in this process, we are on the next step. We're in the middle of that right now. We have to write three profiles. One is to describe the community in which Santa Clara serves. Another one is to talk about our church. And then the third one is to talk about the pastor, which we are looking for. So at the beginning of this, we're like, oh, that's easy, no problem. We'll, you know, put a lot of facts about the community, a lot of facts about our church, and then, you know, we'll put down some things that we want for our next pastor. In going through the process, it's turned out to be quite a lot harder than that, because God is speaking to us, obviously, and he's saying, well, community is more than just the people you're reaching out to. Church is more than just your building and how much money you have and all those kinds of things. And then lastly, the pastor, it's, you know, we can write down a bunch of characteristics that we want, but we really want a man of God or a woman of God. And so in this process, once they're completed, we'll move on to the next step. And that's where we will start soliciting candidates. Candidates right now can come from various sources. One is a recommendation, some recommendations from GHC. They'll have some people in mind. Additionally, we're opening it up to any of you who happen to know somebody who may be looking for a senior pastor job. And whether it comes from any of those two sources, we will move on to the next step and we will interview this person. We'll ask if they're even interested. And then we'll interview their references, and then we'll interview them themselves. Once we get to a point where we think, the search committee thinks that this is the person that's going to lead Santa Clara into the future, we will present this board or this person to the board for approval. The board will go off and meet, and by that time we hope that we're in tune and the board will endorse that candidate. Then a time of candidating will take place. We don't know how long it will be, but it will probably be around a week. They'll get involved in the various ministries that go on throughout the week, so you will get a chance to meet them and be involved with them. And then that'll culminate in the candidate preaching on a Sunday morning. After that Sunday morning, after the candidate is dismissed, there will be a special vote taken by church members, which is that last step, and that will affirm the search committee and the board recommendation. And so I know that's a very high-level summary of things that are taking place, but I wanted to be very clear with you guys about that's the process we're taking. So with that said, how many of you guys were at the first Sunday where we did the prayer emphasis? I see a lot of hands out there. That's good. So it was interesting in doing that service because that's not the type of thing that I'm gifted with, but it was good to see that representatives from all of our different ministries and areas in life were there, and it was good to see our community like get together, our church community get together in prayer, and it was you know, we were praying up until that 7 o'clock and beyond time, which was great. And so out of that came a lot of thought process and a lot of our profiles we've taken, and we've kind of changed the focus of them, so to speak, so that it's more what we feel God is leading us to rather than just fact-based, as I mentioned. So with that, I wanted to continue that today. You'll be hearing a lot about the community, the church, and the pastor profiles from different team members. But first, in your bulletin, there's two items. There's a yellow or canary color sheet. That is your feedback today. You'll be seeing a video, and then there's some other questions. You feel free to write down all these notes. There's two baskets in the back that you can drop it in on your way out. Or if you need more time, you can turn it into the church office or find one of us, and we will be more than happy to answer your questions. We were kind of joking around on Friday about this. Your name is optional, but if you would like a response, it would be good to put your name down there, because it will be hard to determine who it came from unless we know. And then also there's a prayer guide in here. There's a prayer for our team as well, so for you guys to really come around us in prayer, because we need it. And then on the back side, it's for our congregation as well, to prepare all of us, including us on the team, for change. Change is going to happen, and so there's some items in here that you can reflect on throughout the week. So I encourage you guys to really take this prayer guide to heart. Like I said, I want this to be very clear to you guys. We are open to your questions and feedbacks about anything in the process. And I've been thinking about this a lot lately. You might be that voice that God uses to focus us in a different direction. So don't be afraid to approach us. I had a conversation on our long drive back from Mexico last couple Fridays ago with two church members, and we talked a lot about the process, and they walked away with their questions answered. So it was good to talk. So if you guys want to talk, email, however you want to do it, we would be more than happy to entertain those questions. So next, to kick us off, in terms of what we're doing in terms of our profiles, I'm going to have Greg come up and talk about the community part.
All right. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the community profile. And I first want to say thank you. We know that a lot of you have been actively praying for us and for the team and for the process. And we have to start off by saying thank you, because we can't do this alone. We need to know that you're a part of this and that you're alongside of us and encouraging us. So thank you. As Andrew shared, we were instructed to put together three different profiles to present: the community, the church, and the pastor. And I'm going to be talking about the community. You know, we first started putting together all sorts of information. We went to the U.S. Census Bureau and got data from there. We went to the Santa Clara Chamber of Commerce, and we got data from there. And we actually ended up with so much data that we just didn't know what to do with it. I mean, we could tell you just different family breakdowns and gender breakdowns. And I mean, it's a ridiculous amount of how much information is out there. But we also looked at the history of Santa Clara. We looked at how Santa Clara started as the eighth in the line of Spanish missions, and later becoming a provisioning point for the Great Gold Rush, and then transforming again into fertile farmland for the orchards and hundreds of orchards that were out there, that at one point Santa Clara was producing the most fruit anywhere in the world, based off of the farming ground that was around here. And times would change, and so would Santa Clara. And so we fast forward even to the dawn of Silicon Valley, and how not only did you have NASA Ames and Moffett Air Station up the road, but businesses were setting up their bases here. IBM, HP, Xerox were all here. Later, you would see Microsoft, Intel, Cisco, and Google make their homes in Santa Clara Valley. Coming soon in 2016, there's this little company, you might have heard of it, Apple Incorporated. They're building a huge complex, literally about 1.5 miles away from this church, that's going to house 13,000 employees. 13,000 people in one area. They're going to be living here. They're going to be working here. Community. And I think you all know that there's this new stadium. Some people are for it, some people are against it. Levi Stadium is going to be the home of the San Francisco 49ers for sporting events, concerts, and all other activities. And did you know that a little football game is going to be played there called Super Bowl 50? Ladies and gentlemen, if people don't know where Santa Clara is, they will by the time Super Bowl 50 is played. So we gathered all this information, all these pertinent little facts, and we put it together. Technology, science, sports, and the history of Santa Clara. It's all in there. But like Andrew said, we stopped. Data is good. It is good. It'll let whoever's coming here, it'll let them know who's stepping in, where they're coming to, what's the diversity, what's the culture like. It will let them know. But community is more than just history and demographics. Community is you. And it's me. And it's all of us. It's how we live our lives outside this church. Community is how you interact with those that you come in contact every day. At work, at school, at home, in your neighborhood, at the grocery store, at the restaurants. You name it. You are the community. You are God's community. We are God's community. Andrew shared that we did this in May for First Sunday, and on First Sunday we had prayer stations for all of these different interactions. We had one for community, one for the church, one for the pastor. The community one, at each of these stations, we had a prayer station and an activity, something for you to do, and then to reflect and pray. And we had verses posted. Well, for the community one, we had a large map. And on that map, we had some instructions for you to place a pin on where you live for your family. A red pin on that map. And then you take a green pin, to where you were at, where you worked or where you went to school. And then we did another one where it was a white pin, or clear, white or clear, and you place that with a piece of paper and you'd write down where you were serving in some sort of ministry. And we wanted the people at First Sunday and then for you to see. It's a visualization of what our community does look like and where we reach and how far out we can interact for God. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the map is back up there. And we're not going to ask you to get up during the service, but when you feel led at the end of the service or next week, because I think we're going to keep it up for a couple weeks, please take a moment to look at the map. Place your pins on where you live. Place your pins on where you work or go to school. Place the pins where you serve. You are the community. You are God's community. And I think that map is a great visualization of how we can reach out to the community. I want to close with this thought. At the beginning, I said Santa Clara was founded as one of the 8 missions of the Spanish nation, right? Has anything changed? Aren't we still a missionary church? Aren't we still in a city that needs to have a missionary church? I mean, God instructs us to go and love one another, to go and love thy neighbor, and to give praise to the Lord. Proclaim his name. I don't think anything's changed. And I think as a community of believers in this church, we're also the community outside this church. Thank you very much.
So the next step in what we've been putting together is, has been shared from trying to explain to a prospective candidate what the community is like is who we are. And Greg touched on that a bit as far as the areas of ministry that we're doing. And that's, how do you put that on paper? I mean, without making it a list and statistics and things like that. We went through the website. If you haven't read our website, I would encourage you to do so, because there is so much good information about what we're doing. But we started copying and pasting. Oh, we need to make sure we tell them about the life groups, and we need to tell them about youth ministry and the activities, and camps and things. It was about 15 pages of stuff that this church is involved in. And as we shared that with Dr. Hoyt, he said, but who are you? Who is this church? What do you stand for? What is your passion? What is driving you? And make it about 2 pages. So a lot more prayer and really thinking about that. And I challenge each of you to really think about in these days and these weeks as we are all transitioning, to really think about, where are your passions? What is that spark that God has put in you and how you can serve? As Greg shared, all those things on that wall, can we kind of blur here our messages, but where are you out impacting people? What are you doing to grow and draw closer to God and prepare your heart for this next pastor? So we have the prayer requests there for you to reflect on. Look to the scripture and think about where God has you right now to reach out to people, to be part of this church. Is there a ministry that you can step into to help it grow, to stretch yourself? Pared it down, or we're working on paring it down to our 2 to 3 pages. And to complement that, fortunately, we're working on a video as well, because certainly the video can say so much more about who we really are than any words that we can put down. Those are there too: the number of people that come, what our budget is, you know, how old the members are. But we're trying to create an experience when they read the document and when they view this video, to really share who we are and what it would feel like to be the leader of this congregation. Now, this is a rough cut of the video. We're working on it. We're going to work on some audio and look for some additional footage of some of our life groups. But we wanted to share, as we said, be open with you where we are in the process. And there's opportunities for you to share if you have certain life groups or things that you're like, oh, you've got to make sure you put that in there. They've got to know about that. We want to hear those things so that we can incorporate that kind of information. So with that, we're going to show the rough cut of our video.
All right. So my name's Larry Trigg. I'm part of the Pastoral Search Committee also. And I love that video. That was a great job. I think it's a microcosm of what our church is. And I think really this whole Pastoral Search Committee has been a microcosm of what our church should be. Everybody participating, everybody praying. So I'm here to talk about the third part of the pastoral search criteria, which is the pastor himself. And I'm very, very, very thankful that I'm able to do this, but I'm most of all thankful that I only have to do it in 5 minutes. Just like what we saw with the community search and the community description and the church description, you know, we have all the data, but it really comes down to the heart. And I think nowhere is that more true than with the pastor search and the pastor portion. And, you know, we got down all the criteria that we felt the Bible was leading us to write down as far as a criteria for the pastor, and we gathered information on the first Sunday. But above all that, we really wanted that the heart and the spirit of the pastor to match what we were seeing on paper. And so to that end, I thought it was best to talk more about the purpose of a pastor rather than the person or the personality of the pastor. And we found, as we focused on doing that as a pastoral search committee, it was much easier to get our own emotions and our own desires out of it and think of what was best for the church. So I thought of a couple interesting descriptions, and the best ideas always come from the Bible. So the purpose of a pastor is obviously to equip. And I was thinking about the scriptures that talk about that. The first scripture I want to show you is in, I believe it's Ephesians, but if not, don't worry, it's the right one. So Christ gave himself the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for the work of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. And so one of the main purposes, as you may or may not know, most of you probably do know, is to equip the saints. And, there's a great description of that I got in my mind that I searched on the Google. I thought, you know, the pastor is a lot like the equipment manager of a sports team. Because that person's job is to give that team absolutely everything they need to win on the field. And obviously, so I Googled equipment manager, and this guy came up. Now, the interesting thing I noticed, two things about this guy. The first thing is that you look at him and you can tell that he has a passion for giving you exactly what you need to win on the field. He's not a mess around kind of guy. And he looks like the kind of guy that if you approached him, he'd say, "Let me see you play." He wants to see you play. He wants to see how, you know, you act on the field so he can give you the exact perfect shoe and equipment that you need. As you can see, none of those shoes are the same. Every one of them is different. And that's like our church. So our church, everybody here is different, but we all have one purpose, and that is to serve God. And so the pastor, we're praying that we will receive, and we're all confident that will be someone who will be able to equip us to our full potential. The other thing that I think that stands out in the Bible about what a pastor should be is that of a shepherd. And there's another verse I'd like to show talking about that. And it's interesting, this verse is the very last action that Jesus did when he came to see his disciples after he is resurrected. The very last thing that he did is he made them a meal. And it's really interesting that when he made this meal, I can go back and think about what this meal might have been. It was just broiled fish and bread, I think. But man, that must have been the most amazing broiled fish you've ever eaten in your life, made by the creator of the universe. And Jesus was a shepherd, and Jesus was the shepherd of his flock, and at that time it was the 12 disciples. And his role as a shepherd was to give them the exact food that they needed at the exact time. And if you know anything about shepherding, it's not an easy task. It's not like you go into the barn and you get hay and you give it to your sheep. It's you have to take your sheep to the place that they need to be at the right place at the right time and give them exactly what they need. And that's not a trivial matter. Because as a shepherd, as someone who provides that food, it can come in many different forms. You know, maybe what you need to hear from the Word of God is encouragement. Maybe what you need to hear from God is the right word of encouragement at the right time. Or maybe it's a little push or a little nudge or a full kick, right? I found it really amazing that Jesus said to Peter three times the same thing. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of God, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." And he went on to say that three more times. It was the last thing he told Peter, who was the first pastor of the church. And so we're praying as a pastoral search committee that whoever is our next pastor will have a passion and an ability to be able to feed our souls right down to the very root of our being. And the last thing I thought was important to share about the pastor, and the thing that struck the whole committee as we were going along, is that searching for a pastor is really a two-way street. You know, we're praying that, you know, this pastor that we have will have all the criteria that we're hearing from the congregation and all the criteria that the Word of God says that a pastor should have and all the scriptures that talk about that. But it really is a two-way street because any pastor worth their salt is going to be looking for really strong characteristics in the church that he leads. And so that really, I know personally, is challenging to me because I know that I'm not up for to be led by a great person. But I think that that same person, like Jesus, will be the type of person that will see that and be able to understand that and be able to encourage us to be where we need to be. And so working with the Pastoral Search Committee, I've just been overwhelmed by God's grace and by how amazing it is to be able to see how things are coming together, not only just the way the services run, but like the way 4th of July went. You know, I really see things gelling together, and I'm really, really thankful to be a part of it.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
My name is Jonathan Fung. I hope you feel more informed about the pastoral search process and the upcoming steps that will be taking place. From day one, it's been on our hearts to involve you, our congregation, and we appreciate your support and prayers. Being on the search team is not status-driven. It has been a sacrifice, working on bringing the next senior pastor to Santa Clara First Baptist Church that God has already chosen. We are the church, the people. It's our spiritual gifts, talents, generosity, and the love for God and for each other that creates the community here. Brian McLaren is a prominent church pastor, author, activist, and speaker. I really connect with his definition of church. Church is a space in which the Spirit works to form Christ-like people. And it's a space in which human beings formed in Christ-like love cooperate with the Spirit and one another to express that love in word and deed, art and action. In other words, we must allow the Holy Spirit to work on our hearts, which will enable us to share Christ-like love with others in everything we do. Have you ever thought of the type of community God is building here? Over the past year, there's been an increase in diversity and a new excitement building. We are all part of other communities, such as work, school, neighborhood, to name a few. What type of church community do you need, and will you help build in this place? In the early church, the Holy Spirit poured out, and the believers formed a strong community, essentially a larger family. The ideal church is described in Acts 2, and nobody lacked anything, with the church growing daily. Acts 2, 42 to 47 says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions, and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. This has always been just my ideal church, just the vision that I've always had what church should be. Dallas Willard was an American philosopher, professor at USC for 47 years, also known for his writings on Christian spiritual formation. his quote echoes the early church in Acts. What we have is a devotional life. What we need is a devoted life. We have a prayer life, but what we need is a praying life. We must all rise up and commit and pray without ceasing for the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us to find the next senior pastor that will carry out God's mission and vision for our church. I'd like to take a moment for us to pray individually for God to start moving on our hearts. So let's just take a moment in silence. Please join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for this church, your church. We thank you for providing for us, for being with us each step of the way for this process. We humbly come to your throne and we ask for your Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us as a church body, to give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and heart to receive the next senior pastor for Santa Clara First Baptist Church. Just stir an excitement in our heart. Give us a heart of a devoted life to you, a praying life. Consume us, Lord Jesus, with the leader that you're bringing to this church, and continue to unite our body. We thank you for this opportunity for our church to come together, for each one of us to have a voice, to be a part of this process, and to submit to you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your Spirit that has been moving powerfully in our church. And we ask, Lord, that you just continue to help us to carry out your mission and your vision. We are grateful for all that you have done, and we are grateful for our church community. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.